We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, continuing our series on the thought of pressing on. Tonight we want to look at press on, growing in faith. We want to continue to grow in faith. You know, the disciples asked the Lord to increase their faith. And certainly we desire, or should be desiring, that experience in our life, that as longer that we're saved, the stronger our faith becomes. We shouldn't become weak in our faith. So we want to look at that tonight. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's hard to have faith to believe God for great things if we have no hope that God's not going to do great things. And so hope really is a foundation, and hope is a motivator of our faith being increased more and more. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so we desire to continue to grow in our faith, and certainly we cannot do that apart from reading the word of God and studying and meditating upon it, and that God might be able to go ahead and increase our faith. I'm thankful for the things I've learned over the years, things I've had to trust God for, because through each one of those experiences, it increased and strengthened my faith. And I just have found the longer I'm saved, I can believe God for bigger things and greater things, because I've seen him come through on so many smaller things in my life. Really, this matter of faith, 100 sermons could not adequately deal with the subject of faith. And certainly I can't cover everything about faith tonight in just one message. I just want to use this message tonight to challenge you to allow God to increase your faith. You may be a college student that's home for the summer, and you're going to be getting ready to go back to college, and you might have bills waiting for you. Certainly you have classes you're going to need to pass. I just know this, that God can see you through, and God can give you faith to be able to address those issues and see him move on your behalf. But even as us here in the local church and trying to strive and move ahead, that God will bless us and use us in a great way, we need God to increase our faith. Chapter 11 really is a great chapter, and we know that it's identified as the great faith chapter. In the chapter 11 of Hebrews, just goes through all the different examples of those who walked and lived by faith. We just finished up going through the book of Hebrews not too long ago, several weeks ago. And we certainly, when we went verse by verse, saw how God used each person in chapter 11 to illustrate what great faith will do. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorted his disciples to have faith and to trust in God. Certainly, when he had the man come with his son that was ill, and not the disciples could not do anything to bring healing and deliverance in his life, Jesus told that man, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And just thinking of just the many open doors that we can experience and great moves of God we can experience just by having faith enough just to believe what God has said and trust God in reference to who he is and allow God to work on our behalf. Certainly salvation is very simplistic. We often call it the simple plan of salvation. Even children can understand it. We've had children get saved this week. "For by grace are you saved through faith." There's that faith again. "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." There's that belief again. I mean, just over and over again, these verses ring true of the faith that we need to have to trust God to save. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so we can have simple faith to believe God for great things. There's that person you've been witnessing to for years. You don't think they're going to get saved. Well, just have faith to believe. God can get the hard case saved. I remember Dr. Malone preaching a message years ago. I don't remember the points, don't remember the passage he read from, but I remember the title, Getting a Hard Case Saved. And you can get some hard cases saved if we have faith to believe that God can work on them and change them. So we need to grow in faith. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible for us to please him. And so we do not live according to our talents and abilities. We don't live according to our business skills. We live our life by faith. And when we live by faith, then we're in a realm of the pleasure of God. George Mueller said this. It's in your notes. I put it on the screen too, but I like reading different quotes. He said, God delights to increase the faith of his children. I think sometimes we think, well, God doesn't want to increase my faith. He does. He delights to increase his faith of his children. He goes on, he says, we ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hand as a means. I say, and say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. How can we know that we're growing and maturing in faith if our faith is never tried or tested? How can we know that, wait a minute, God can meet our needs if we never live in the realm or the environment where we have to trust God to meet our needs? And so don't be shy away from difficulties, but rather embrace those difficulties. Sunday night when I was preaching, I said, well, VBS starts tomorrow morning. And get ready, because the devil's going to do whatever he can do to try to shake things up and hinder what God is doing. And by 9:30, we had three instances here at the church on Monday morning. One was literally a lady falling in the parking lot and had to go to the hospital and got stitches over top of her eye. Praise God, she didn't break anything, but was bruised up pretty good. I mean, just count on it. If you're going to try to do something for God, the devil's going to step in and do whatever he can to stop you from believing God and trusting God and proceeding ahead for the glory of God. And so don't shy away from difficulties and obstacles. Embrace them as the means through which you're going to see God be faithful and true to you and increase your faith as he moves on your behalf. George Mueller goes on to say, in the pleasures of life, God whispers to us. In the problems of life, he shouts. He said, faith and works are as inseparable as sun and sunlight. Faith is the sun, good works is its rays. And we say we have faith. James tells us, if you say you have faith, show me your faith. And how do you show your faith? Through your works. And so faith and works are always tied closely together. And if we have faith, it is a natural thing. There's going to be works that's going to come after that, showing forth. It's a testimony of that faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So first of all, I want to think about tonight a weak faith. And how does that affect us? First of all, weak faith deprives us of many, many blessings. And God wants to move on our behalf, and God wants to bless us. But if we don't have the faith to believe him and trust him, how in the world are you going to be able to enter in to those blessings? In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but they that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so if we have a weak faith, it's going to rob us of the blessings that God wants to bestow on us. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, and he showed them a land that flowed with milk and honey. But all they saw were the obstacles. All they saw was the difficulties that they would have to overcome. And because of the obstacle and the difficulties they would have to overcome, they did not believe that God could give them the power and the strength to possess the land. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, only for one reason. They did not believe God. That's it. And they missed out on all the blessings 40 years. Matter of fact, those who disbelieved, those that were 20 years and older, literally died in the wilderness. They never in their lifetime saw the fulfillment of the blessings of God. And it was just simply because of unbelief. I don't know about you. I just don't want to miss out on any blessing God has for me. If all it requires is for me to trust him in believing, I want to, God help me to have that faith to believe you and trust you, because I want to embrace and enjoy every blessing that you have for me. When the children of Israel did come to the end of their wandering in the wilderness and they came to the Jordan River, God did not just part the river. The river did not part until the priest stepped into the river. And the moment their feet touched the water spread apart and divided asunder, and they were able to cross over the Jordan River. And there had to be a step of faith. And may I say this, that God does require of us to take that step of faith to believe him. If it's witnessing, take that step to witness to somebody and just trust God to give you the increase. If it's in the area of giving, I know there's been different times when I've desired to give something, the Lord just lays something on my heart, and the first thing I think of is, well, Lord, I really can't give that much. That's the wrong number. Can you come up with a better number, you know? And I found this, every time that I disobey God and I don't believe God can bless me and I don't have the faith to be able to give it, I never reap any blessing. But every time that I do give it, it's amazing what God does in blessing me above what I was willing to give. And so God always blesses when we have faith. Weak faith only deprives us of the many blessings that God wants to give us. I was listening to David Gibbs preaching a message, and he was saying that he was in a meeting, and the offering plate came by, and the Lord laid on his heart, he had a $100 bill, and it's the smallest thing he had. And he said, and the Lord laid on his heart to give out a $100 bill. And he was like, well, Lord, couldn't I just get change? He said he argued with it, and he was preaching. He was going to get up and preach. And he said, I didn't give it. I just argued with the Lord the whole time the offering plate was coming down. And he said, I was thinking, well, I could get change. He said, but it is. So he said, the couple of guys down the pew that was before me, before the offering plate got to me, I thought they don't look like they have enough money to put enough money in there for me to get change. And so he's going through this whole process. And so he didn't give it. And he got up to preach. He said, he got ready to preach. He was so under conviction. He said, I was so under conviction. He said, I told the people, he said, I got to confess my sin. God laid on my heart to give a certain amount of money, and I didn't give it. And he looked at the pastor. He said, if you want somebody else to preach, go ahead and have them preach, because I'm not worthy to be up here because I didn't obey my God. I didn't have faith to believe that he would take care of me in giving what he laid on my heart to give. Now, folks, we've got to have faith to believe, because if we don't have faith to believe God, all it does is hinder us with the opportunities to be blessed of the Lord. And so weak faith deprives us of many blessings. Letter B there in your notes. A weak faith fills our hearts with worry. And if worry is nothing more than you distrusting God. Really, let's just make it very simplistic. You say, well, you just don't understand what I'm facing. Well, wait a minute. Maybe you need to understand how big God is. Because it doesn't matter what you're facing or what you're going through. God is bigger and God is greater than those things. I like this quote. It says, worry is the thief that robs us of the joy of experiencing God's blessings. Listen, you'll do much better in just trusting the Lord and having faith that God can take care of whatever that situation is you're dealing with, than worrying yourself to death about how it's all going to work out and how is it going to take place. I've just learned over the years, I have to trust God. I have to have faith to believe that God is interested in my life. It might not be going okay right now. It might not be seeming to work out right now. But I cannot allow God to worry my mind and my heart to the point to where I'll fail to trust him in the midst of all these circumstances in life. And, you know, oftentimes Joanne tells me, I go to sleep, I'm fine, it doesn't bother me, but she says I preach all the time. I'm just wondering whether I do or not. And it's not I'm worrying about anything. I'm just getting things right with people. Amen. I'm preaching in the middle of the night. I wake people. I was down at the Wilds, and the guy was in the cabin with me. I told him, I said, brother, I'm just telling you right up front, sometimes I get preaching when I'm sleeping. So I said, I want to apologize ahead of time before I wake you up preaching in the middle of the night. And I woke myself up preaching one of the nights I was down there. And I told him the next day, I said, I'm really sorry, brother, I woke you up because I woke myself up. And he was like, oh, no, don't worry about that. I said, well, my wife wanted me to let you know she wants your address so she can send you a sympathy card for having to be in the room with me. And he said, no, it wasn't that bad. And I don't worry about things. I preach about things. Amen. And we just need to trust the Lord. No, I just don't want to worry myself to death. There's been times where I have gotten so distraught because I didn't know where the finances were going to come from, or I didn't know how things were going to work out in my personal life, or I didn't know how things were going to take place in the church, and I drove myself crazy worrying about everything. You know what? It never solved anything. But when I just started going to God in prayer and believing him and opening up the word and saying, God, how should I respond to this? And what should be my reaction to this situation? All of a sudden, there's a peace that floods my soul. And so faith, a weak faith, always fills our hearts with worry. Why? Because we come to a position, number one, there where we ask the questions, can God provide? And that's what happens when we start asking and doubting God, and we don't have faith to believe God. We want to know, can he really provide for me? In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 30 and 31, we know they're familiar passages. Jesus says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For of all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I'm just thankful that before I'm aware of what my needs are, God already knows what my needs are. And I don't need to be living a life of weak faith that constantly worries about, can God provide for me? I remember my wife and I, we went out and started church. Back in 1984, I mean, we just left. We just went out and started the thing. Went out and got a job, didn't have any place to live. I lived in my van for a month, you know, until we were able to rent a house. We just believed God. We left the Bible college. We didn't have any support. We didn't have anything. We went out to Michigan. We felt God wanted us to go there. We rented a house when we were there. And I came back. I didn't have a job, didn't have anything, just came back home. And my pastor said, well, when you leaving? I said, now. He said, what do you mean now? I said, I'm getting a U-Haul. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. God, we already rented an apartment. God wants us to be out in Midwestern. We're going. He was like, Mike, that's not how you do it. I said, how are you going to live? I said, God's going to take care of me. I have faith to believe God can take care of me. And that's how we've tried to live our life. It's when I start worrying about if God's going to take care of me, when everything falls apart. And so don't fall into weak faith where you're constantly questioning and wondering, can God provide for me? Yes, he can provide for you. I know over the years, different situations have arisen in the church here at Ocean County Baptist Church that I've thought of my life. I've thought, oh my Lord, how in the world are we going to continue? How in the world are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to meet the... I remember one year I was wondering, and a bunch of people had left. There was a bunch of foolish stuff as usual, but anyway, they left. And hey, we're homebodies. We can talk about it. Don't get nervous. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me talking about it, so it doesn't bother, shouldn't bother you to listen about it. But anyway, they left, and the first thing I thought about, the amount of money that was leaving the church. Now, boy, that's a real spiritual way to look at things, isn't it? I had to get that right with the Lord. But anyway, I thought about how many families were leaving and the amount of money that was going out of the church, and the first thing I thought, how are we going to pay the missionaries? As a pastor, I did what I thought. I thought, how in the world are we going to pay the missionaries? All these people leaving, and then God roughed me up. I mean, God worked me over. What's the matter with you? Those people aren't the ones that pay for the missionaries. I take care of the missionaries. And God brought me to my knees, and God put me on my face, and I cried out to God and said, God, you've got to take care of this situation. I have no ability to be able to change the situation. You have to be in control of it. You need to provide. You know what? That year, our missions giving went up. Amen. You say, how did that happen? I have no idea. The only thing I know is God brought me to my knees to stop worrying about it and start praying about it and start believing him. And if I would believe him, then he can come through. So we don't have to constantly worry about, can God provide? May I say, he can provide for you. He can take care of you. And so a weak faith will rob you of the joy and the blessings of trusting God's provision in your life. In Philippians chapter 4, number 2 there, God, you'll start questioning, can I be thankful? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing. We know the word careful means anxious. So you say, don't be anxious over anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, here it is, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Can I be thankful when things aren't going right? Can I be thankful when everything's falling apart? See, the question is not, am I full of anxiety and fear and worry? The question is, can you just thank God? Because I found this, if I can be thankful to God for who he is and what he can do and what he will do, there's no anxiety and there's no fear and there is no worry. So can I just be thankful? That takes faith to be thankful when everything's falling apart. I know it takes faith. Let me tell you, when you're in Bible college and you have no money, you're barely paying your bills, barely putting food on the table, you're praying and asking God to provide with it for you every day because that's the only way you're going to be able to eat, and then what little bit you have, some thief comes in the night and steals it. It's hard to say, God, thank you for this place where I'm living. It's hard to say, thank you, God, for bringing me up here into this armpit of the world. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not thankful, you will be filled with anxiety and fear and worry. And an unthankful heart will rob you of the faith to believe that God can come through. Now, you ladies know how it is. My wife, I had to go to school every day. I would get out of school and have to go right to work. I would not get home to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She would have to be there in the house by herself, in a house that she no longer felt secure in because of the fact that it had been broken into, and we knew who broke into the house, and we watched them walk every day past our house, and the police would do nothing about it. Let me tell you something real quick. My wife had to learn how to eliminate fear in her life by trusting the God of heaven who protected her even when we were being robbed. Now, I'm going to tell you, weak faith will rob you of the security of trusting and believing God when things are out of control. So can I be thankful? Through faith, I can be thankful. Notice also Psalm 78, just simply, can I believe? Psalm 78, I love Psalm 78. It really is a resume of the children of Israel and God's blessing in leading them through the wilderness. But in Psalm 78, in verse 18, says, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. God's already fed them. God's already provided for them. God's already delivered them. But they weren't satisfied. They wanted something else. It says they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They were lusting after something God had not given them. And because of it, they were questioning their God. In verse 19, it says, yea, they spake against God. May I say, when you allow the lust of the flesh to fill you with desires for things that God has not given you, you will start speaking out against God and distrusting him. God doesn't care for me. God doesn't love me. God doesn't answer my prayers. God isn't involved in my life. God may be doing that for somebody else, but God doesn't do that for me. Watch out when the devil and your flesh start making you lust for things that God may not have given you, because they'll become the attention of your heart rather than the God who can give them to you. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, but the waters gushed out, and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and the anger also came up against Israel. You know, their problem was this. They could not believe God to continue to provide for them, and so they longed for something and desired something that God had not given them. And as a result of it, they missed out on the blessings of the Lord in their life. And yet God, in their unbelief and their distrust, would rain down quail to satisfy their desires. You talk about the grace of God and the mercy of God. So why would we worry? Why would we allow our faith to be so weak that we would miss out on blessings and worry? But also, let us see there, a weak faith deprives others of blessings. Deprives others of blessings. Lacking faith hinders the effective working of God through us. And there is somebody that needs to be blessed because of your faith in God. In Matthew chapter 8, there's many people in the Bible, as you go through, that because of their faith, others were affected by their faith. Notice a centurion's servant is healed because of the centurion's faith. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8, so the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. In verse 10, Jesus heard it. He marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. There was someone else that was affected by the faith of the centurion, and that was his servant. You know, your faith that you have in God can and will affect others that are around you. And your faith certainly can affect others in the way that they perceive God, certainly the way needs can be met in their life. Your faith does affect people constantly, and so you don't write it off. Don't think you need to have strong faith, because there's somebody that's depending on your faith. Not only was the centurion's servant healed, but in Mark chapter 7, the Syrophoenician woman's daughter was delivered. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 27, Jesus said, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. He was referring to Israel as the children and this woman as a Gentile, as a dog. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Her faith affected her daughter. And your faith affects others that are around you, whether it be someone who works for you or with you, or whether it's a daughter or a son, because number three, a nobleman's son is healed in John chapter 4. And so your faith will affect others around you. So I don't want to have a weak faith that it becomes a negative experience in someone else's life. Since faith brought blessings, then a weak faith hinders the flow of blessings, whether it be blessings in your own life or whether it be blessings that come on someone else's life. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we need a strong faith. We don't want a weak faith. We want a strong faith. Lord, increase our faith. If faith has that much of an effect on our personal life and in the lives of others, I certainly don't want a weak faith. I want to be able to grow and be strengthened every day in my faith and my walk with God. So strong faith. First of all, faith in God gives courage. And we know that from a good example of that is Gideon in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6. God would take the amount of soldiers he had and whittle them all the way down to only 300 men. And he would have to go out against the great Midianite army. But wait a minute, God was with him. And so it was the presence of his God, the instruction of his God, that enabled him to have courage to go out and fight against the enemy. I know in 2017, it is not popular to be a Christian. I know in 2017, we're watching the world become darker and darker all the time. I know that when you talk about being born again and only one way to be saved and one way to go to heaven is not a politically correct statement. And it's becoming more and more, unacceptable to take that type of a position. But wait a minute. We can still have courage to live our Christian life and be a witness and a testimony for God. If God would deliver the Midianites in the hand of Gideon with only 300 men, then bless God, I believe that we can turn our world upside down for Christ if we just have courage to be able to stand for God. So faith in God gives courage. Faith in God gives peace. Why? Number one there, it always eliminates worry and anxiety. And so the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the faith that increases is a faith that not only gives courage, but it gives us peace because it eliminates worry and anxiety. It gives joy in the darkest hour. You know, read the book of Psalms. You know, Psalms is a book of joy and celebration. You read the book of Psalms, and as you're reading the different Psalms, do a historical study on the background of the Psalm that you're reading, and you'll find those Psalms were written out of times of deep despair with darkness all around. And so they write as of the joy and the celebration of God's deliverance. Paul in Philippians is a small book in the New Testament, but it's a book that everybody loves. And it's because of the fact it is filled with joy and rejoicing because it's written out of experience of a dark hour where Paul was in prison, but yet his faith still gave him joy in the midst of the storms and the trials in life. And so faith gives us peace because it gives joy in the darkest hour. And then it overcomes obstacles in our life. And if we'll trust the Lord, have faith in our God, then certainly we can overcome the obstacles in our life. I don't know what sin is besetting you, but it does not have to beset you. You can have victory over those sins. You know, when we talk about drugs or alcohol and things like that, oftentimes people talk about today everything's a disease. And the reality is that drugs or alcohol addictions or any addiction, whatever it is, it's not a disease. It's a choice that people make. And because you make the choice to commit that particular sin, you're always going to be falling to the temptation of that sin until you finally say, I have faith to believe that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, and I do not have to succumb to this temptation. Whatever the obstacle is, you can overcome it through faith to believe. Most things we worry about, of course, never come to pass, so why don't we just have faith to believe God? Well, faith in God fulfills opportunities. I put all these verses down in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm not going to read through all these verses. But every one of these verses in Hebrews chapter 11 identifies an individual who was faced with an opportunity to bring glory to his God. And every one of those people in Hebrews chapter 11, fulfilled those opportunities to bring glory to God through their faith. What opportunity is God giving you? It might be going into full-time ministry. It may be going into teaching Sunday school or working on the bus route or whatever ministry it may be. God may be impressing on your heart to start a ministry within the local church here. All I got to say is have faith to believe that God can use you to do it, and let's get on with it. Amen. Great ministries are established and great things are accomplished through the opportunities that God gives us if we'll just have faith to believe God can do it. And so strong faith gives us the opportunity to fulfill the open doors that God puts in our life. Well, there's a weak faith, there is a strong faith, but there's also an exercised faith. In other words, God does not increase our faith to sit still and do nothing with it. Notice what D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody's always prayed for great faith. He said, I read Romans 10:17. He said, I closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I then opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. And we say, well, I want to increase faith. Well, you're not going to do that by abandoning the Word of God, because it is through the Word of God that we build faith, because the Word of God explains to us everything that God is and who He is. And you know, it's always interesting to me, people, you say, you know, the Bible is the Word of God. Well, I don't believe it's the Word of God. Well, what, have you read it? No, I haven't read it. Well, how do you know it's not the Word of God? Well, you know, it's just as valid as any other religious book. Have you read other religious books? Yeah, I've read those books. Well, have you read the Bible? No, I haven't read the Bible. How can you make a judgment on something you have not read? And I've just found this, and I'm sure you found this, that every time you read the Bible, you find something new in it. You can read the same passage over and over again. There's different passages I've preached on, 3, 4, 5 messages out of the same passage. Because every time I read it, God gives me something different when I read over it. And so faith increases continually as we know the Word of God. So well, number one there, that means we need to know the Word of God. And may I say this, not know about it. We need to know the Word of God. And why? Because it is your tools. It is your building blocks, your specifications of what the life, your Christian life is. And so to exercise faith, I need to know the Bible. I read other books. I like reading different writers and authors. I like reading theology books. I like reading those types of things. But I never spend more time reading other books or literature more than what I spend in reading the Bible. Because the Bible, I need to know what it says. And because it's the tools or the building blocks for my Christian life to be able to have faith. So you not only need to know the Bible, number two, you need to believe the Word of God. You need to believe the Word of God. And why? Because believing the Word of God, it is trusting, you're simply is trusting the foundation that is laid. And so I'm not going to question the Word of God. I'm going to believe what it says. I've studied it enough, I've applied it enough, I've experienced it enough that I know it's true. And even if I didn't have any experiences, and even if I didn't apply it to my life, it still is the Word of God. It's truth from the beginning to the end. And so I need to believe what the Word of God says. Number three, need to apply the Word. Why? Applying the Word of God is just simply, it is putting the promises into action. That's what faith is. Faith is built on what I learn by knowing the Bible, and I believe what I've learned as the foundational truths of who I am and what I am, and because of that, I live out those promises that God has given to me. If it says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give in thy bosom, I know that he says that. I believe that it'll happen, then I just need to do it. So it needs to be applied. Every principle in life is just a matter of reading through the Word of God. An exercised faith is knowing and believing and applying what God has said. Now, David Gibbs gives three keys to faith. I'm always amazed at what God does. I'm putting a message together, and then I just thought, well, I had a few minutes downtime. I said, well, maybe I'll listen to David Gibbs preach a message. And I turned it on, and he was preaching out of Hebrews chapter 11. And he preached this message, three keys to faith. And I couldn't ignore it. I wanted to put it down as a concluding thought to my message. And he says this, first key to faith is the voice. And you say, well, what is that? It tells you right in your notes there. It's God speaking to you. Do you hear God's voice speaking to you? I'm not talking about an audible voice and some weird vision or something like that. God speaks to us by his word. He speaks to us through his servants. And he speaks to us from his spirit to our spirit. And are you studying and reading the Bible in a way that you're listening to the voice of God? When you go in the church and it's a Bible study time, it's time for preaching or whatever. Are you going in with a desire to hear what God has to say? Or are you coming in just to be able to try to pick out how many times I'll repeat myself? You know, what voice are you listening to? We ought to be listening to the voice of God. The second key he had was simply this, the venture. The venture. God never gives you faith for you to be fat with faith. The venture. What venture are you going out with? It hit me when the kids were here from Pensacola, you know, several weeks ago when they were here. And when I was preaching, I just saw them there. I said, man, what an adventure. What an adventure. I told my wife, I said, you know, someday, you know, maybe when I'm 90 or whatever, I'll retire. And I said, I'm going to retire, maybe we'll move down south. And in my retirement, I think I'll start a church. She told me, she said, are you nuts? She told me, she said, you just flat wear me out. And I'm like, well, man, alive, it's an adventure. Amen. Our lives aren't over till we get to heaven. And then it's really exciting when we get to heaven. God gives us faith to venture out to do something for him. He doesn't give us faith to sit around and say, well, Lord, just increase my faith. Just increase my faith. He looks at you and says, then get up and do something. The voice, the venture, and I like his last point, the value. Your life goes where your value lies. Now, you think about it. Every area of our life is established as a priority of our commitment to it because of the fact that's what we value. If it's sports, you value sports. I mean, some people are crazy with sports. And there's nothing wrong with sports. But I'll guarantee you, because they value sports so highly, I don't care what happens, nothing's going to stop them from being there for the game. What about our faith building value in relationship to who God is and what God wants us to do? See, the value of your life, the value of your faith is based on where your value lies, what is important to you, what is significant to you. And so, Lord, increase my faith. I want to be focused on the things that are valuable in the eyes of God. I want God to be able to increase my faith where I can see, wait a minute, my life. I think many of our children and young people aren't surrendered to the Lord because they don't see any value in it. What's this life worth living for the Lord? Well, I tell you, if you have faith to believe God, I'm going to tell you something. When you see God start moving mountains in your life, you see God start doing miraculous things in your life, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You quickly understand the value of having faith. And I'm just thankful for faith that can increase and can increase. As I grow older, I don't want my faith to grow less. I want my faith to be greater. I want to be believing God and seeing God do mighty things that I never saw him do before in my life. And I'm just trusting the Lord to do those things miraculously through faith. And I believe God will do some great things. Amen.